Beer of the Day World Headquarters here in Elk Grove, California. It's the Beer of the Day Podcast. On the show tonight, we try 8 different Trappist beers from Belgium. We basically pick the very best Trappist beers, the highest rated ones, and we line them all up, and we're going to see which one we like the best, including a side-by-side comparison of the Roquefort 6, 8, and 10 double, triple, and quads. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How's it going? These two miners over here aren't even drunk, and they're painting on each other's faces.
Sorry, I had to.
This is going to be a good show.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
And for the record, they're not miners. They are of
age. Yes.
We are of age.
That is their name.
They're only miners by name.
It's like the worst joke of my life that I'll never get away from. Oh, it's minor. It's spelled like an underage person.
I think when you're 80, nobody will think about it.
Right. But then, plus, you get that photo opportunity. Every sign that says, no minors allowed, and Joel's right there.
Especially in Oregon.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, lately we've been doing a lot of American-centric beers. I mean, we had the space beer last week. But
That was out of this world.
That was out of this world. We did Icelandic. You know, we ventured out a little bit.
Akarere.
Lately, it's been very even West Coast-centric, Portland, California. And so we decided to change it up a little bit and do some Belgian beers.
Belgian beers?
Belgian beers.
Yeah. These are all Trappist beers, too, which is nice. You know that they take the utmost care and responsibility in brewing these.
What else are they going to do?
The monks. Definitely. First beer of the night. Orval Trappist Ale. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Orval? Probably.
Is that like Duvel?
Maybe.
Duvel?
Orval? I don't know. The pronunciation tonight is going to be all screwed, and I apologize for that in advance.
To any of the Belgian population watching?
Population.
Yeah.
I think it's Orval.
Jeff, you're going to become a monk, right?
After the show.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me. Probably not.
I could dig that.
But I do like the monks.
And you're just curious, do you know how to pour into a Belgian glass?
I don't know. Mine's got a lot of head.
That's just the way it is.
He's a pro. This is 6.2%. It's from Belgium.
Smells like apple juice.
Anyone pour one for me?
Yeah, it's over there. Good luck reaching it.
Good luck not spilling it on this computer. Okay. First beer. Now, the order of these, I mean, normally I go like lightest to darkest. I went with one that was a little bit lower alcohol percentage, but you know, it's hard to pick an order based on that.
Yeah, the lowest of the night at 6.2%.
Yikes, it's gonna be a long night.
So a fair amount ahead. I think you're gonna hear that quite a bit tonight on these Belgian style ales. Color wise, it's kind of a golden orange color.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, I'm interested to try this beer. I try to have, you know, the Trappist beers as often as I can. They're kind of expensive and don't really fit with a lot of the stuff we do. But this is one that I haven't had, so I'm interested.
I think Britton just tasted it.
I did.
That was quite the reaction I saw there.
It's not what I was expecting, but it's not in a bad way.
On the nose, there's a little bit of like a fruity, maybe apricot smell.
Yeah, I got that.
Maybe a little pumpkin type of smell.
I was thinking pumpkin or cinnamon or...
Jeff, you got a lot of head on yours, too.
I do. In the pour, I don't know why. It was very foamy. I mean, I pick up on some fruits. Apple, maybe banana in the smell. What okay. Would we consider this a double? I mean, I know it doesn't really say, but
no, I think it would be a single. This is pretty tame, I would say.
But I kind of feel like they don't make. My understanding is they don't make singles anymore at any of the Trappist monasteries.
That could be true.
Very mild. Pretty mild.
Yeah, very, very mild, I think. Yeah.
Yeasty. Fruity. So
definitely on the lighter side.
Yeah.
Fruity, yeasty, kind of bready.
I think, I mean, I've had a fair amount of like Belgian style ales. And this one, to me, has more of a malty characteristic to it than a lot of them do. Like it kind of has a little bit more darker tones on the taste than a lot of those lighter, there's fruitier ones, but there's also like these champagne-ier ones. And this one is more of a beer to me than it is of a Belgian ale.
It's a little je ne sais quoi.
And it definitely has a good carbonation to it.
I like this. I think this is, it's definitely fruitier smelling than it tastes, but I like the yeasty bready, and it's very mild.
I think some people are turned off if they see a beer that's like an 8, 9, 10% alcohol content. And I see this as, you know, if you're new to Belgian beers and you don't want to go immediately into a pretty strong triple, this is a good entry-level Belgian beer.
Agreed.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's like the light beer of Belgian triples and doubles. The Bud Light of Belgium.
That's a good thing to say. Like, it is the Bud Light of Belgium, that and then not in a bad way. It doesn't taste bad, but it's an easy drinker. You know, some these are gonna get tougher to put down as we go. You know, they're gonna get you pretty good, but this is a real easy drinker.
Definitely. Something I find interesting on my bottle, which probably has a different date than your guys. You know, I'm used to drinking beers that will say like best within 6 months, 9 months. This is best by August 21st, 2019.
Yeah, ours is November 20th, 2019.
Which is pretty amazing. I mean, I think a lot of these beers get better with age. I mean, Belgians are known for that. But that's pretty amazing that, you know, we still got 4 good years to drink this.
How do they know that that is the exact date?
It's 4 years.
It's five years from the bottle date.
I wish Britain had a date stamp like that. I would know when to trade her in.
All women have one.
And now let's get into the beer news of the day. And not soon enough.
Yeah. Dr. Phil.
Big Finish. All right.
We like Big Finishes.
Every year, maybe every 6 months, they came out with these lists that the best-selling beer in the world isn't what you think it is. That's what it says. And I've seen this list last year, so it's not as surprising to me as it might be to some people. But it's always fun to look at the best-selling beers in the world. Anyone have a guess at what number one is? Not Andy?
Or Jeff?
Budweiser.
In the world?
In the world.
In the world?
In the world.
Guinness.
Joel?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take probably something from Budweiser. Just Budweiser.
The number one beer in the world is Snow Beer from China.
I've never even heard of it.
Well.
Have you ever had it?
I don't think you can get it in the U.S. No,
we have not had it.
We got to work on that.
Apparently it tastes pretty bad.
Yeah. It has formaldehyde in it.
Yeah.
Ah, sounds good.
But in China, they're cool with that, I guess.
I mean, we'll get it sometime.
Yeah.
We'll get someone to ship us a case of it, and we'll drink as much of it as we can. That's number one. It's the sales volume is up 573% since 2005. So over the last 10 years, it's quintupled. That's
the same with every industry in China over the last 10 years.
Exactly. Yeah. True. It's an economic thing.
All right. Any guesses on number two? I know Andy knows what it is. Same as last year.
Guinness.
No. Bud Light.
Qingdao.
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 China is number one and two.
Is that a Swedish beer?
No. No, and we can get that here.
Yeah.
You know, at Mexican.
I want to go back.
Chinese
restaurants.
Snow beer, where do they distribute?
China.
Everywhere but here, or is it just
China?
Just China.
I think snow beer is kind of like the Bud Light of China.
Yeah.
It is, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they drink so much of that. That's why it's number one.
All right.
Got it.
So number three.
Guinness.
Heineken.
Why don't you guess the Bud Light of the United States?
Bud Light.
Yes.
I was going to say Coors Light.
Number three is Bud Light.
Buddy.
Number four, it's Big Brother.
Budweiser.
Coors Light was 10, right?
In the world?
Yeah.
Number five. Now, this is new
Guinness.
This year. Guinness. Skol from Brazil.
Brazil?
Yeah. Yep.
Heineken's on here somewhere.
But they got a lot of growth, just like China.
Guinness has to be on here somewhere,
They
too.
Merged with InBev or something. So
probably World Cup kind of skewed some numbers.
I would have guessed there's another Brazilian beer. Braha, what's it called?
Yeah, we're getting there. Oh,
sorry.
Don't pimp my list. Yangjin, China, number six. Number seven, Heineken. Number eight.
So bad.
Guinness.
Harbin, China. Number nine, Brahma, Brazil. There it is, Jeff.
Isn't Brahma a type of bull?
Probably. Yeah,
maybe. And number 10.
Guinness.
Coors.
Coors Light, right?
Yep.
Where's Guinness on this list?
No one drinks Coors.
Yeah.
No one drinks Guinness anymore.
Americans and Chinese drink the most beer. That's what I've concluded.
Well, obviously Brazilians too.
Brazilians must be drinking some beer. China has a lot more people than we do.
Yeah.
The fact that we had a few that cracked the top 10.
And they have probably a lot smaller selection. They definitely have a lot smaller selection.
You're going to say smaller people. That's not cool. You can't say that.
Okay, next article. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but Klaus Toller.
Who?
Klaus Toller.
Okay.
They make non-alcoholic beer.
That's why we don't know it.
Right. They came out with a new beer that is supposedly drinkable by beer drinkers. It's called the Amber Dry Hopped.
Challenge accepted.
Non-alcoholic beer. And it's hoppy. They brewed it with a lot of hops. And supposedly, according to this article, it's somewhat palatable by beer drinkers. I don't know. We will get it and we will try it out on some future episode. But they say right in this article that the hardest part of people that with non-alcoholic beer is it's hard to compete with Coca-Cola, you know?
Right.
Would you rather have a beer that tastes terrible or drink a soda or something? You know, if you're going to go non-alcoholic, why do you drink non-alcoholic beer? This has Cascade Hops from Yakima, Washington. So
it'd be interesting to see if we could tell if the beer was non-alcoholic beer.
After 10 of them, you'd know.
A blind taste
test. God, I got to pee a lot, but I don't feel a thing.
Joel, you would know it in a second.
If it didn't have alcohol in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like, you know, like I can tell decaf coffee with one sip.
I call BS.
Oh, it's obvious.
Oh, it's on. It's on.
Okay. We'll do that on the next coffee podcast we have. Check it out, coffeeoftheday.com. No,
brew of the day.
Brew of the day.
There you go.
Hey, we could have doubled up.
Yeah.
Man.
Let's try to register that
domain name. Yeah.
Coffee of the day would be like cooted.
All right. Next one.
That's cooted, man.
I have the secret to long life.
Who cooted?
The oldest man in Nebraska says the secret to long life is having a beer a day.
I'll drink to that.
Beer of the day.
So I have 7 beers on a Saturday. Does that cover me for the week?
I don't think it works like that. I think you're good. Every day at 3 o'clock, he drinks a beer. And that's his secret to long life.
Now, is that 3 o'clock Nebraska time? Or is
it is.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
What kind of beer?
Probably Central.
Yeah, what kind of beer? That's a good question.
Probably Budweiser.
Probably
maybe,
Bud Light.
Maybe it's that crap with formaldehyde in it.
Some 100.
He actually died 11 years ago. Chinese he's been dude. Preserved yes. in a state of
he's
living.
Still sitting up.
Well, the oldest person, Janine Clement, died at 122, did not consume hard alcohol, but occasionally had a glass of wine at lunch.
So but she ate bacon every day.
I can't confirm or deny that.
Dang it.
So interesting. Hey, beer drinker, 110. Maybe there's hope for us.
There's hope for us.
Probably not. All right, let's get into the next beer. Westmalle Trappist Triple, 9.5%.
We just kicked it up a notch here. Going from 6.8, right?
Yeah, that's like dropping it into 6. Fourth 2. Gear.
Yeah, 6.2 to 9.5.
Every time I see all these IJ names, Browery? Yeah.
Yes.
It reminds me of Nicola Coster-Waldau from Game of Thrones for whatever reason. Because it's like Nicolaj.
No, I'm not doing it. We don't have any more Game of Thrones beers on this show. Hey,
thank
correction,
God.
No. I kept saying that it was the first two Game of Thrones beers. It's actually the fourth and fifth beers.
What? We missed a couple?
I think we actually had one of them, but there was three more before that. So,
wow.
You know, we kept saying first and second beer. It's actually fourth and fifth beer.
There's please a, tell me we're not
we
trying
we have to go
those.
Back and try them
oh,
all again,
God,
right?
Please, no.
If they still have them, we'll try them. But so, and I'm sure they'll have more.
This beer is pretty interesting because the color is remarkably similar to the much lighter one.
I think
a lot of these triples are kind of light in color.
This looks a little lighter to me than the last one.
Yeah, it's like more straw colored with floaties.
Less orange.
Yeah. I got lots of floaties.
Yeah, it's more yellow than orange.
But that's not something we're used to. I mean, drinking most of our American beers, we think of a beer that's 9%. We expect it to be a little darker and heavier.
True.
Yeah, this has like a... I mean, if you took this, I imagine this being like a biscuit that's drenched in liquor and then all the...
It's a little buttery colored.
Yeah, and you get that biscuit slash butter and a lot of alcohol and liquor flavor.
So it's going crazy on the carbonation. What do you call them, nucleation points?
Yeah, but you don't...
Mine's going crazy in the middle there.
No, yours does have a nucleation point on the bottom.
Yeah.
That's built into that glass.
Yeah, yeah. Going crazy.
Yeah,
I get lots of bananas. I think I said that on the last beer, but I think I was wrong. This beer has the bananas.
Yeah, the last beer was pumpkin. This one's banana.
Banana and maybe some berry too.
Marionberry?
I don't know if it's Marionberry, but some kind of berry I get.
Maybe
still getting
it's
the
a little,
yeasty.
Maybe blueberry or something.
It smells like it. Yeah, blueberry was what I was going to go with. It smells like you're smelling a carton of blueberries, not the flavor of blueberry, though. You know what I'm saying? Like the fresh berry smell.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if it's psychological, but when I see a beer that has 9.5% alcohol, I mean, I taste the alcohol in this, and it's just overwhelming to me. I don't know if I'd like it that much. It's just too much. It's too thick. It's too strong of a beer for me.
See, from my personal standpoint, I disagree with that. I think that this 9.5 is much more palatable to me than like a 9.5 IPA. Like I couldn't take it. But you like IPAs and I don't. And I like Belgians a lot more than you do. So
yeah, I think it's just a preference. It's just kind of my style.
Yeah.
I'm with Britton 100%. To me, this is extremely easy to drink. I mean, it tastes alcohol. I can definitely taste the alcohol, but it's very smooth to me.
This one to me is, compared to the first one, has a little bit more balance in the flavor. Maybe not as malty. You know, it's not as varied as the flavor.
There's a sweetness and there's a berryness to it.
There is.
Yeah.
It's like a smoother kind of creaminess.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's definitely more creamy. And I think it's that thickness that you talk about.
I taste a lot of quality in this beer.
That's what the Trappist beers, that's what you're going to get. You know, they're not necessarily brewed by monks, but they're under the supervision of the monastery. And they, you know, they demand the highest quality of everything. And these are all bottle conditioned beers. And with sometimes with those, you're going to get a bad one here and there because the bottles go bad. But these, you can tell that there's a lot went into making this.
Yeah. I actually don't think that I can taste the 9.5.
I can't. It's,
To me, it's hidden.
A lot of the triples, the Belgian triples we get from the other Belgian breweries, there's a lot of sweetness in their triples when they're at this level of alcohol. And I'm not getting that super sweet, that Belgian candy sugar bite.
To me, it's more dry.
Yes.
Especially on the finish. It's not as sweet. It's more dry.
I like that, too. Like, I just like that more.
And, you know, we get in America, all these breweries make Belgian style beers.
And they're not like this, though.
They're not.
I think they strive to get to this point and don't quite get there. I think this is the quality here is different than you get from any imitator.
Yeah.
You can taste that it's legit.
Totally.
Well, I think a lot of these, it's been the same recipe for 200, 300, 400 years.
Yeah.
And I think that says a lot.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But some of these monasteries, they've had to stop making the beer from time to time. There's been periods of where they don't make any beer, but it's basically like the same recipe that they've used for a couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is strange, but I don't know if anybody else is getting this. Like if you drink it, you kind of get like a funny tang at the beginning that's almost like eating sourdough bread, and then it goes away, and it's very like, it's just good.
Yeah, the finish has almost no aftertaste.
That's the yeast. These are very yeasty. You don't want to pour the bottom of these bottles into your glass because it's all yeast, and I got a little bit in mine from the first bottle, but I definitely get that bite, the yeast bite.
It's good.
Yes, it is. Time for our beer trivia question.
So I think that if we're going to do beer trivia, Andy should have one hand behind his back.
What does that even mean?
What is the best-selling beer in Belgium?
Do I get to go first?
Let's go around the table from Steve the other way.
I go with Heineken.
Chimay.
Budweiser.
Duvel.
I'm going to go with Stella.
Ooh.
Jeffrey?
Stella. Ooh.
You're right.
That's crazy because Stella's terrible.
Stella is not that bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
It has. There's a place for it.
So I feel like Stella is that beer that people who ride road bikes are working out and they don't want to have too many calories, but they want to enjoy a good tasting beer.
God,
they drink Stella.
I hate Stella. Stella's terrible.
I think that's like Amstel Light, the road bike people, or
actually like Amstel
Michelob.
Stella gives me the, and maybe this is just me, but Stella gives me the worst cotton mouth ever.
Stella's awful.
It really is bad.
It's the pointless beer.
It really is.
I've had worse.
I don't think it's good, but it's better than Heineken.
That's true.
Yeah.
See, I like Heineken better.
But there's nothing. The only thing worse than Heineken is Corona. So
I thought you were gonna say Coors Light for a second. They watch it.
The thing is that they all handicap themselves with the green bottles, and then Corona gives you a clear bottle, which
even worse
puts them even farther behind the eight ball. So
tastes like piss.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment, and then we will try the Roquefort 6, 8, and 10 double, triple, and quads against each other. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you're hearing this, that means the new Beer of the Day website is up and ready to go. So you need to come and check it out. Beeroftheday.com. Each day, we post a new Beer of the Day that is open for people to come and rate and leave comments on it. And these beers from this podcast, these eight beers for the next week and a day, are going to be the Beers of the Day. So that's cool. We also have a new section on the site called Local Breweries. So if you come to the site, you click on that community button at the top of the site, go to Local Breweries. It will show you all the breweries in your area. And I guarantee there's going to be some brewery you've never seen before. And that will, you know, if you want some Saturday afternoon, you have nothing to do, stop by, try out their beers. And it's a good way for people to get in touch with their local beer scene. All right, let's get back to the show. We're coming up here on our Strange Brew segment. Strap in.
So what?
Seatbelt. You need a seatbelt for this.
Okay. I will need it for this bottle.
Oh, I can't wait to hear you tear this open. It's going to be good. Welcome back to the show, Strange Brew segment. We have, it's called Cuvée Brut.
From Leafman's?
Leafman's. Brewery Leafman's from Belgium. This is, it's a beer that's, it's like champagne, you know?
Talk
it's,
about this wrapper.
It's a...
It looks like a firework that you have to light the top of it and it blows up.
It's ready for a Christmas present.
Oh, look, this is going to be good. Oh, I... Let me turn up the volume here.
Andy is undressing the beer.
Wait, twist it slower.
Pop it harder.
Oh.
Popped.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, Jeff doesn't have this one, so we're going to have to just tell him how this is. This is brewed with cherries.
Oh, look at that color.
Yeah,
it looks like cherry juice.
Very dark for something coming out of a green bottle. It
looks a little toilet watery.
A little bit. No head whatsoever. Zero. At least on mine.
Yeah, on the second pour, there's
a little bit more, barely.
A few bubbles.
I have literally six bubbles in my glass. That's it.
Hmm.
Dark. A little cloudy.
Man, it smells like cherries.
Dude, it smells like a Shirley Temple.
I think it smells like a sour, is what it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it smells like grenadine with a little sour.
And a lot of like those, it smells like a little bit like a bitters as well.
Now, so, Dal, hold yours up. Yours looks way darker than mine.
I don't know. I think it's just lighting.
Is it lighting?
It's like it's a reddish, dark reddish brown color.
Mine's got, so girls would understand this, it's got an ombre going on, so it's like, it's straw colored at the top of my glass with like a ruby jewel at the bottom.
That was so not okay where you started.
Yeah.
But it describes it somewhere
it should not have.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so it's like a gradient from straw colored at the top to a clear ruby red at the bottom.
Jeff, you got an ombre over there?
I got no break for you.
I got no comment.
So this doesn't really taste like a beer. It tastes like a sweet sour beer.
Well,
oh, that's fantastic.
Cuvées are typically going to be a sour, not necessarily sour style, but they're going to have a sour effect, you know?
I would not know that this were a beer. If you hadn't told me that this were a beer, I would think that this were a cider.
Yeah, it has a cider taste. It has a sour finish to it, but it's very sweet in your mouth, though, when you take a sip.
It almost has a little bit of a wine cooler taste as well.
That it does. And
I could see that.
It's like this blurred line between wine and beer and cider. It's like a...
It looks like a beer, though. I mean, it does pour. The color is like a very, very similar to a beer. It has a lot of strong...
Cough button, Andy.
Andy likes it.
There was a kick there, like just too sweet, too much. It was like downing a... champagne, you know?
It tastes like candy. It really does taste like you're eating some kind of candy. Like
there's no,
candy.
Not the carbonation of champagne. It's very lightly. It's like juice. It's like apple. It's like
Calistoga cranberry.
It honestly.
Cran apple.
I can't taste any alcohol. To me, it honestly tastes like a flat, slightly sour Shirley Temple.
It tastes like a dried fruit that's like organically processed into a bar that they sell at Trader Joe's where there's like nothing else in it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Does it taste like cherries?
Yeah.
I would say it does.
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
So it
tastes
says
like
this
apples
was,
as much as it does cherry to me, though.
Yeah. I get the cherry. It's very, it's a little sweeter than cherry. It's ale matured with cherries, blended with cherry juice, and cherry flavor. And then there's some words here in some other language.
Well, it's from Belgium, so it fit the style. It's supposed to be strange. I just don't think it's, if it was more sour, then I think it'd be more.
It's strange.
Beerish.
I think if they wouldn't have blended it with cherry juice, it would taste more like beer. I think putting cherry juice in it probably
it's too juicy.
Diluted it too much.
Yeah, it's very juicy.
It just doesn't taste like a beer to me.
I taste alcohol, though. I really do. When I
you know what would be really good? Is if you mix this with that first beer we had.
I bet it would be good.
I'm going to try that later because we have more of both.
Okay.
Yeah, but if someone took
I bet if I mix this with Bud Light, it would be better.
I was going to say that, too, but
it
I didn't
just needs a little carbonation,
give Bud Light that much credit.
You know?
It sounds a little bit like the Dogfish Head one that we had last week that didn't really taste like alcohol.
Positive Contact.
Yep.
But if someone puts it in front of you, would you be able to determine it between a wine cooler and a beer? Would you say,
I wouldn't.
Oh, this
I don't,
is a beer?
I don't think I would be able to tell.
I'm not a big wine cooler connoisseur.
The last time I had wine cooler, I was 12.
The last time you had wine cooler, you were hanging out with Britton's sister.
Yeah, that too.
I remember that.
Hey, you keep her out of this.
When I was 12.
You keep her. She's a saint.
All right.
Did you hear this?
So
no.
Finish this down. Let's move past it and get into the hard hitting competition
get this
here.
Out of your beers.
Roquefort.
Honestly, though, just the last words on that one. I don't think I would be able to tell if you didn't tell me that that was a beer. I would not say that that was a beer tasting it. Sorry. Anyway.
All right. Trappist Roquefort.
Roquefort. 6, 8, and 10.
Can I open this?
The 6 is 7.5%. The 8 is 9.2%. And the 10 is 11.3%.
So they just rounded up.
They rounded down.
They rounded.
I think it's like using a different system of measurement. It's like it loses something in translation.
The metric system?
Yeah, the metric system of percentages.
Dallas, you got new coasters.
No, I did not.
You didn't? We've never used these.
I just varied them. I set a different one out for each person that I thought would match their personality.
What the hell is a nooner?
You don't know what a nooner is?
Joel, come on.
You show that an hombre is.
Joel's a torpedo?
It all makes sense. Trust me.
So this is, I've poured mine. This is the darkest of the beers so far.
Number one
is still.
No, it was more orange than this. Yeah. This is a little more brown. You're right, okay. Jeff. It is the darkest.
Now I'm in like the darkest room ever, but it looks dark to me. Not dark by any means.
We had Jeff lower the lights so that the video of this podcast, we could actually see him on the screen. So that's why he's forced to drink beer in the dark and make decisions on color in that situation. Holding it up to his laptop screen.
It does look really dark on the screen.
So I'm curious, Dallas, what did you pay?
Oh, there, it's
lighter what did you
now.
Pay for these beers for each one? You know off the top of your head or in guesstimate?
I do. This
for
cost
these
me $7.50.
$7.99 at BevMo.
And that's for a 12-ounce beer.
No, 11.2.
I got gypped.
So I just noticed this, and I've had these beers a lot, all three of these, but the 6, 8, and 10, the lettering gets bigger as you go up in the... Not that that has anything to do with the flavor of the beer.
It's just the drunker you are, the easier it is to read that way.
That's true.
That must be it.
You think so, really?
So
I don't see that.
On the smell on this, it's like the tamest smell of any beer that we've had so far.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking that it has the fruity smell to it, but it's very
a little fruity,
mild.
Maybe like a little sugary smell, but I'm not getting a lot on the nose.
It smells exactly like a fruitcake to me. It's got a little dried fruit and a little bread.
So I sipped this, and it has the taste of like honey that is like... You know, the bees have been, you know, grabbing their pollen from blackberry bushes.
I think you're right, Joel.
I mean, it's got a blackberry honey flavor to it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it does.
100%.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it just smells of quality. Like when I smell this in the first sip, it just smells and tastes like a quality
beer. Is that different from mainstream?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a different?
What does Bud Light smell like to you?
Like, so, I mean, like obviously from
like handcrafted.
This is 7.5% versus the previous one. Westmall, 9.5%. This is a little bit of a lighter beer in taste.
I was just going to ask, does anyone taste alcohol? Because I don't taste any.
No.
I think
no.
This is more similar to the first, the Orval. This is closer to that. It's not the same, but...
No, it's very mild. It's lighter, though. It's like, it's less malty.
Yep.
And but it's so smooth.
It's a great beer.
It's it's like not enough there, you know. It's like it's like so smooth. It's like too smooth.
I hate to say there's almost no flavor. I mean, honey. Yeah, I get honey. Beer. Very delicate. Yeah, I would never.
I like it.
I would never guess it's 7.5%.
I like it a lot.
It tastes like a 3%.
I don't think it's as malty. I think the first beer was pretty malty.
Yeah, it was.
A little caramel notes there, I think too. Kind of a dry caramel
in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that, but it's everything in this is subtle. Like you really have to like. Close your eyes and wash away all the noise and just really try and get the essence of it because it's very subtle.
I mean, this is a beer that you sip slowly and enjoy. You don't chug a beer like this.
I agree.
As I was throwing back a sip there.
I agree with Joel. There's total
you could without repercussion.
A lot of honey there.
It's like it's got a clover pollen flavor to it. Yeah. It's good.
I agree.
Very good. All right, let's try move up to the next level.
Yep, you guys need to empty your tanks there.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
If anyone can't drink it all, I'll drink it for them.
You lay off.
All right, fine.
I'll drink my own.
Be that way.
I will. So it's so good. I don't want to give it to anybody else. Actually, I'm taking a little while. That's all.
Ooh, I like the color of this one.
What color is it?
Well.
It looks the same as the last one.
I can't vouch for any colors tonight, but I think it's a little darker and a little browner.
What year penny is it?
Not one of the zinc ones.
It's an 83.
Definitely darker than
that. Great year, those 83s.
Yeah. I'm an 83.
I can already tell it's darker than that. I'm looking at like 66.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
It's slightly darker than the last one, but I mean, it's similar color.
It's like a Newcastle color.
No, it's... It's quite a bit less light coming through that one than the previous one.
Yeah. So this one's smell has a little bit, more of a yeast comes through it.
That's a 66 penny.
Before we drink this, I have to say that this is possibly my favorite beer in the world.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Whoa.
Of all time?
Of all time.
In the history of ever?
Slow down, Turbo.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know.
Pump the brakes, bro.
You've all had this before because I've brought it over. I don't know if you remember it, but.
I don't know if I've had it. Have I had it?
I don't know if you've had it.
You haven't.
But
I've had one of these, but I don't know which number.
Should have wrote
this,
that
This
wrote
is
that
like
down.
Their classic one, right, Andy? This was the original.
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I think.
You're probably going back hundreds of years.
I think they've been making all of them for thousands of eons.
Sorry.
Back in the last ice age,
they stopped for a while because it was too cold.
Well, this I think the 6 was probably the original, but this is like their most well-known one.
I don't know. I see the 8 a lot, but I see the 6 and 10 just nearly as often.
Okay, so.
So just on the smell, it smells less sweet.
It does, but it's still very mild in the smell. I don't get a whole lot on the nose. Now, on the taste.
It's so incredibly easy to drink.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so easy. 9.2%.
Yeah.
And it's this easy to drink. But
the best 11.2 ounces you can buy.
And it's got like a honey oat bran flavor to it that is, it's sweet, but it's also got a lot of character to it, but smooth as it gets. It's a great beer.
It's so much. It's a little bit sweeter than the last one and even smoother.
I think oat is a great description. That
yeah, oat was great.
Oh, I think it's less sweet.
I agree. I think it's,
I think it's less sweet.
Less sweet.
I don't get the honey as much like it has on the 6, but I get the kind of oaty or kind of an earthy taste to it.
Yeah.
In the mic.
I really like it. I have like nothing else to say about it. Joel nailed it with the oat bran.
Yeah, he did.
There's a breadiness there. Kind of a, I wouldn't call it rye, but a dark bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not as honey as the last one.
No.
It's like the sweetness is a little bit, it's not even sugary. It's not brown sugar. It's,
I think.
What is that?
I think the thing that surprises me the most is that at a 9.2, I don't feel like the alcohol is hiding anywhere. It's right there, but, and there's no sweetness to cover it up, but it's not unpleasant.
It's a dry brown sugar. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, where it's not too sweet, but it's brown sugar.
It's so
I mean,
subtle though. It's like so many beers that we drink, they overload the brown sugar.
Yeah.
This is not that at all.
But could the alcohol just be the sweetness that we're tasting? I mean,
no, alcohol is not sweet. They, what you find a lot is that the brewer will counteract the taste of alcohol with sweetness. So that's why a lot of high alcohol beers are very sweet.
I don't know. I can't conceive of how they even managed to do this.
I know.
It's pretty amazing.
It's sweet, but then it disappears like immediately. Like it hits your tongue and then it's gone. And so, it's so good.
With a lot of sweet beers that have high alcohol, it becomes a little bit of syrupy. This has none of that syrupy, syrupy feel at all, which is
brilliant beer. It's fleeting. It's there and then it's gone. It doesn't like linger, which I like.
It's brilliant.
It's like a wafer crisp of beer, you know, like
I totally get what you're
right?
saying,
dude. I know what you're saying.
Yes,
it's airy. There's an airiness to it. It's not syrupy.
It completely dissolves on your tongue, and then it's gone.
You guys know that? You guys ever had that NASA dehydrated ice cream?
I haven't been to the moon yet.
Dang it! That would have been a great analogy.
I'm not sure that Roquefort has ever been compared to that, but hey, we can go with that.
I think Britain's right on though. This is, you know, with how she described it. I'm curious from anybody except for Andy, do you like this one better than the six? Is that the consensus?
I do.
I do.
I like them both in a different way. They have.
Yeah. The six is great.
If I had to pick one or the other, though, I would pick the eight because it's less sweet. It's a little bit more subtle. And I would actually say it's probably a little bit more complex, but I just can't pin it down as to what it is.
I agree.
It's 9.2% alcohol. So
yeah,
that's the one we're going to need to drink if we're out.
All right, let's crank it up one more. Let's go to the 10. This is the quad.
Woo!
11.3%. And comparing the first two to each other, I can't wait to see where this next evolution goes. This is pretty cool.
Me neither. I'm kind of excited about it now.
And, you know, I'm pretty amazed at how widespread how the availability of this beer is. I mean, it was for Jeff in LA, for us up here, it was no problem for us to go to the store and pick these up.
Nope.
And these are, it's probably true in a lot of places around the country where you can just go to the store and get
all these beers. They're pretty widely distributed. There's other Trappist beers that are a lot harder to get, and we'll have to try to get our hands on some of those. But
so this one has slightly, like, ever so slight head on it, whereas I think the other ones didn't at all. It has almost no smell.
I get more of a caramel smell on this one.
I get a lot more of a caramel, a lot more of an alcohol smell on this one than the previous
two. Yeah, the previous two had less smell to me.
I can barely smell anything.
When I think the quads,
that's all the glue you sniffed.
Man, this has a light orange, almost triple sec smell to it from the top.
Now, I think it's actually lighter than the last beer in color.
Yep, I agree.
Because I said 66 on the penny. This is like a 78.
I think the quads are crazy talk. Interesting to me is the quads, I think, are relatively new style of beer for these monasteries to make. I mean, they've always made these ones that are like the doubles and the, you know, triples. The quads are relatively new. I mean, they weren't making quads 200 years ago. But this is so smooth. More alcoholic than the other two for sure.
Definitely sweeter than the other two. It seems like they've wrenched up the sweetness to mask the alcohol.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to lose a little bit. It's like it's a little too over the top to me.
Yeah, it has a little bit of a Grand Marnier flavor to me, just a tad tiny bit.
Little orange liqueur flavor.
Yeah.
It's like that slight burn on your tongue that you get from a hard alcohol, and it's on the finish. It's only on the finish.
I don't like it. The first two, they have that wafer mouthfeel. This one doesn't have that. It's more syrupy, less carbonated. It's sweet. You know, the first time I had this beer, after I had the eight, I immediately was, you know, it's a good beer. It's enjoyable, but it's
good,
just not on the same level.
Compared to that last one, it's to me, it's not even close.
But at 11.3%, it's still very, very drinkable.
Yes,
I agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
At 2.1% more than the last one. But you're not drinking these beers to get drunk, you know. It's about the taste and the quality. And I think I sacrificed the 2.1% to get a better experience. Absolutely. Better drinking experience.
And you're gonna get drunk if you drink these.
You will get drunk.
Either way.
It'll get you drunk.
Saturday night for me is a Trappist Rogue for 8 and a Chimay Blue. I'm good.
Well, it happens to be a Saturday night, and it happens to that we have a Chimay Blue for later.
On a holiday weekend.
And he's going to have a good night tonight.
I am.
All right, well, while we finish these, recently Joel finished his second batch of homebrew, and I wanted to get his experience on the podcast about how batch number 2 turned out versus batch number 1.
Batch 2. So I did a pretty aggressive brewery or brewing just program trying to get the hoppiest intense beer I could get.
Number 1, you mean.
Yeah, the first one I did was a Pliny clone. And you know what? There's so many things I needed to learn. I mean, hands down, it was not nearly as good as what you get from Russian River for the Pliny the Elder.
Well, of course.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're doing the first time you do something like that, you're just going to make so many mistakes. The second time I did a Irish red ale, but I tried to add some more hops to it to kind of, you know, change it up a little bit. It was good. I found that when I'm doing my own beer, the longer you wait after you brew it and let it sit, it really requires patience, and that's not what I have a lot of. So those of you guys who know me.
Really?
No. Yeah.
But it turned out it gets better every day, and it's been a really good experience. You learn a lot about the qualities of beer, like the process of, you know, mashing and using malt and sugars and hops to kind of, and boil times, to kind of create the flavor and the hoppiness that you're looking for in a beer. I'm really excited to kind of see where this goes. And you know what? There's a whole community within Sacramento of brewing your own beers and the conversations you can have at bars. You know, I just go places. I was at Whole Foods the other day, and they have a tasting bar. And there were so many people at the bar who brew their own beer. It was just like starting conversations with people here. It's been really enjoyable just to kind of go through that process and talk to people about their brewing experience. The thing that I'm doing now is I'm doing an 8-ounce hop, all Citra hops.
Batch 3?
Nice.
Yep, I'm doing a style IPA, all one single hop, 8 ounces of Citra hops. I'm doing a Zombie Dust, which is a clone from Three Floyds out of Indiana Brewery. Giving that a whirl and seeing how it's going to go. But
yeah, we had a collaboration with them a couple of weeks ago.
New Belgium.
Yeah, one thing that I've come to realize is it takes time. Don't give up if you screw up the first time. We've had this conversation before amongst all of us, but your first beer, it tastes better than about 25% of the beers you've had, which means it's worse than about 75%. Yeah. But every time you brew it, it gets better and better and better. And I can say that honestly, the beer that I made last was probably better or as good as 50% of the beers I've had. And I'm looking forward to see how this last beer comes out. So it's a great experience. Those people who are passionate about beer, I recommend that you guys just give it a whirl. It's not expensive at all. It's easy. And when in doubt, just leave the damn beer alone.
The batch 2, I have to say, batch 2 smelled amazing. Like the smell of the beer was so good.
Yeah. I mean, I checked into Minor Manor last weekend for a couple of days and drank that almost exclusively. And hey, it's a very good beer. So for batch number 2, that's not that bad. We were at Lagunitas a couple of weeks ago, and the founder of Lagunitas, he started that brewery after his 10th batch of beer. So only 10 batches of beer, and he started the third biggest brewery in America, you know, as it is today. And so, hey, you know, it doesn't take too much, you know, if you give it some effort.
And I can tell you that Joel's a quick learner, so after he does something 10 times, I'm sure he's going to be really good at it.
That was way too over the top for me. Wow. I don't need to hear that.
I've only got 3 more times to go.
This is a family this is a family program, Britton.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. So, hey, if you're on our website, beerthedaday.com, if you go to the features section, I wrote up a article about our trip to Lagunitas, and I think we had a great time. It was a good time, and we wrote about our experience there. So that, and anytime we visit a brewery, we'll be writing up a story about our experience there, and you can come and check that out on the website. Our next beer is... Help me with the pronunciation here. Is it Achel? Achel?
Achel?
Achel?
Achel? Achel?
I don't know.
I like Achel. Let's go with Achel.
All right, we're gonna like try all the pronunciations, and one of them is right. And so,
I think it's Achel. Achel.
We'll go with Achel. That. Achel.
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 All right, this is a Trappist.
I don't know.
Ale, as you might expect, 9.5%. This is tied with the Westmalle for our, well, the 10 from the Roquefort was 11.3. So we're stepping back a little bit. Belgian strong dark ale. So this is another one on the list. Andy found a list of some of the best Trappist ales there were, and we went out to the store and found the ones that we could all get between Jeff in Pasadena and us up here.
Well, there's only 13 actively brewing Trappist facilities in the world.
11.
So even fewer than I thought.
Is that right? Yeah. Wow.
And it went up because it was 8 last year. There were 3 more approved within the last year.
Wow.
So it's 11 right now.
So how do we
6 of them are in Belgium, and we have 5 out of the 6. And the one we don't have,
West Veluteren.
It's impossible to get. I mean,
we can get it
if you go to the brewery.
Challenge accepted. How
do
we get it? I
showed you yesterday, $130 for a 6-pack.
Good Lord.
But I don't think you can get it
in
the US.
It's a bargain.
I think you can.
Could you actually order that?
Yes. $130 Somebody has them here and they send it to you. You pay that much.
Well, I hate to say this, but this one kind of smells like Heineken.
It's hands down the darkest beer of the day.
So let's get this straight real quick, because I Jeff's got a different beer.
Okay, yeah. Let's
figure this out.
Come clean.
So I have the same brewery, the Achel.
Pull it up real quick.
Looks lighter than ours.
How about the bottle?
So mine's the blonde.
Wow, that's very similar. But this is the extra. Yours is beer blonde.
It's like yours a Corona brown, extra.
Jeff, is yours a brown bottle?
Yeah.
The label is the exact same.
No, but the bottle cut, like the glass is brown. Okay.
Brown bottle, yellowish
ours is green.
White label.
Ours is green.
Ours is green.
Green bottle. So yours is a lighter beer than ours. We have a darker one. It's kind of your standard classic chestnut brown colored beer.
It smells like Heineken. Doesn't taste anything
really does.
Like Heineken.
As honestly, Britton, you're right. It has like that green light struck.
That's not good.
Smell to it.
Taste it. It doesn't taste anything like what you think it would taste like.
So, you know, maybe just the air in the bottle that gets poured into the glass or something that light struck funk. It has that, but
if it has a light struck funk, you'd taste it.
It doesn't taste like that at all.
I don't smell Heineken personally.
I really like mine. So mine, for the record, is 8%, not the, what do you guys have?
9.5. 9.5, yeah.
Mine is delicious. This is I'm not a blonde beer drinker. This is so tasty. This is, I think, it has a skunky.
What's your percentage?
8%.
Okay.
It's a little skunky on the nose.
Skunky what?
But it's a triple. I mean, this is considered a triple, 8%. It is very tasty.
I really like ours too. I was a little bit skeptical after I smelled it. I thought it tasted it smelled kind of funky. So I wasn't, maybe it's just because my expectation wasn't very high, but this taste is right in line with the other ones. You know, it's yeasty, sweet.
Yeah. After that Roquefort 8, it is really hard for me to.
Yeah.
It feels like this is trying to be that, but it's not.
But not as good.
Yeah.
For me, this should have been near the beginning. It's got more of a lemony, citrusy taste. Compared to all the other Trappist.
Ours doesn't have it's not lemon, but it's maybe a prune or date or something. It has like some type of those darker
figgy
taste to it.
It also has like a caramel corn, like when you take corn and you roast it on the cob. And you know what? It's just, it doesn't taste as quality as some of the other beers we've had today. It's not bad, but it's just not the same kind of like freshness and quality that we've had earlier.
I kind of get the figgy, except it's not as sweet as fig. And I think Joel got it with the, it's caramelly actual corn on the cob.
Yeah, it's like roasted corn. I don't
like after corn caramelizes and it's like slightly sweet, but it's still corn.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you guys are describing this with so many different flavor profiles because I think it's incredibly complex. I mean, even that was my first thought when I drank this. It was just, I had so many different flavors hitting me that it was like, I couldn't really pinpoint any one thing.
It's almost too many.
Yeah, it does have the fig. Mm-hmm. I don't know who mentioned the fig, but it does have that fig in there.
You know, as a side note to this, we should actually get figs, dates, prunes, currants, and just do like a tasting of them just so that we could have
I think that's a great idea.
Have some reference, you know, get some different types of those types of, because we have a lot of beers that, especially like with last time, Positive Contact from Dogfish Head. There's a lot, like we say raisin, we say all these different types of fruits, and it might be a good idea just to try that just so that we have that basis for reference. And, you know, as a suggestion to anyone listening, you could do that as well. So homework assignment, do that. We're going to do that. And then we'll have a little bit more reference if we're going to try beers like this, where it really is
super complex,
very complex. And there's a spectrum of those types of fruity flavors that it's hard because, you know, I don't eat dates on a regular basis.
I don't know if I've ever had a date.
But to me, this is fruity up front.
But it's not.
It finishes malty to me. I mean, I taste beer on the finish.
I agree with that. It's sweet up front, and then it like the thing. I think the thing that I like about Joel doesn't like Belgians that much. I think the thing that I like about Belgians that I can almost understand maybe why Joel doesn't and why he likes IPAs. IPAs linger, they're very bitter, they hang around on your tongue for a long time, and I think Belgians don't. They're there, and then they're gone. I think one of the things that I've noticed about all of the beers that I've had tonight is that they're very fleeting in their flavors, and yeah, I like that.
That's true, but I think this one in particular has a little bit more of a lingering aftertaste than the other ones we've had.
It does, yeah.
Every beer we've had tonight has that almost, I mean, a very clean finish. Very clean.
This one has a sweetness that lingers on for quite a while.
Yes, it does.
It's that strong sour yeast that you sometimes get with Belgian-style beers that I don't like. But the ones that we've had today, I can tell the ones that we've had and we've experienced, you know, this evening are all top-quality Belgian beers. I mean, they've been good.
I'm really digging them.
Well, the previous beers today, I mean, I could have, you know, drank those and then not felt like I drank any beer. Yeah. I could have, like, gone out and done my day and felt like I didn't drink anything other than them all being high alcohol content. But the this one here, I really feel like I have drank a beer. I mean, I can taste it. It has a aftertaste, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff. On the agenda, I have Jeff's take. It's you're gonna have an opinion on something about the beer world, and we're gonna hear about it.
60 seconds. Go.
Well, I have a funny story for you guys.
Okay.
Not related at all to Belgian beers.
That's okay.
But it's kind of a follow up to the last couple shows. So we had a Ground Control from Ninkasi.
Yeah. I actually have had it a few more times since last time they had it. They finally tapped the keg at OTP. They had the Ninkasi event. I went for that and had four or five different Ninkasi beers. I took Steve back there on Wednesday and we had Ground Control again. And that was a really good beer. It honestly was. I'm glad that I got to have it. And I'm glad that it stuck around here for a little while, and we got to.
I'm glad it was a good beer and not just a gimmick.
Wait, is this Dallas's take or Jeff's take?
It's Jeff's take. I'm horning in on it. But I'm just saying, I'm just reiterating the fact that it was very cool to try. If you get a chance to try Ninkasi Ground Control, seek it out. Hey, it went to space. That's a gimmick. Who cares?
It was
good.
But
the beer was good.
It was.
So Dallas's take is somewhat ironic because, you know, I had the privilege of, when I was up there in person, I had this. It was a tasty beer. And, you know, I made it a point that when I came back to Pasadena, I was going to go find this beer. And Andy's going to love this. I go to Whole Foods now for lunch on Fridays. And they have a really good deal. They have fish and chips, like three big pieces of fish and fries and any beer that they have on tap for $10.
That's what? A great deal.
So do they have a beer deal. Do they have a beer garden at
yeah,
they your
do. Oh, yeah, yeah. So where I live, the Whole Foods is the biggest Whole Foods west of the Mississippi River.
Oh crap.
There's a bar with a it's like a full restaurant. They, and
they have an escalator that you take your shopping cart up.
Are you yeah. serious?
Yeah. This is it's LA. Nice. This is it's Pasadena, fancy. So it's like in inner city. So you have to have that type
inner
of thing.
Rich people city.
But there's a couple people that whole work paycheck. There that know their beer, and they have whole quality paycheck. Beers on tap. And so $10, it's a great deal. They have different specials, but I go there. And so my point was, after having ground control with you guys, I thought I should buy some bottles because I thought this is a beer that will age well. I don't really know, but you know, I have a wine fridge. I should keep a few bottles in the wine fridge. I think it will do, you know, good things to this beer over time.
They said that when we were when you right. read the side of the box, it said it's going to get better with time.
And so I go to Whole Foods on last Friday, and I walk in and I go to like the beer section, and you know we're there for lunch, but we're also there to buy ground control. And I walk up and they have a little display where I was pleasantly surprised there were three or four cases of these big, I think it only comes in like the big, you know, 22 ounce bottles.
Yeah.
Big cases, three or four of them right there on display. I'm like, sweet, let's go have some lunch. And when we leave, I'm going to buy at least one bottle. So go, we have our fish and chips, have the beer.
I know where this is headed.
Okay. This took maybe 35 minutes probably. Had one beer, fish and chips. At the bar, then we go to leave and we walk back. I'm with a friend of mine and the display is gone. Literally 30 minutes, maybe 35 minutes at max had passed.
That's like our Pliny story.
And we look around and we're like, what is going on? And some in that 35 minute window, somebody came in and bought all three cases and they were completely out. And I missed my opportunity to buy it. So
wow.
I was so mad after that. But and I've looked around. I keep going back to different places. It's just not available. It's a good beer I'd like to buy a few of. And I was so disappointed that 35 minutes while I had my fish and chips, it disappeared.
Moral of the story is if you get your opportunity, take it.
Yes.
Hey, so
I'm not going to make that mistake again. If I see a beer I want, I'm going to buy it right then. I'm not going to have lunch. I'm not going to sit at the bar and have a beer. I'm going to buy it right then.
Well, I would do that if there was like one or two left, but there were literally three cases of this.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. How were the fish and chips though?
Very good.
Might have been worth it.
Hey, Jeff, on Thursday I went to Whole Foods and we have a really nice Whole Foods in Folsom here in Sacramento, and they had Pliny the Elder in bottles.
Woo.
And they were limiting it to one bottle per customer. So wow. my coworker who I was with has never had it before, and he's like, oh, I don't want one. And I was like, no, you're gonna buy one and I'm gonna send you money and then you're gonna give me the bottle just so I can have it for comparison purposes because it's so hard to get here in Sacramento. So, go Whole Foods.
So, you're telling me you have two bottles of Pliny at home?
We do.
We do.
We got to take pictures of them.
And Thursday is the cheeseburger special, for the record. So, what's cheeseburger and a beer for $10.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm moving.
Well, dang, dude. We're all going to Pasadena for lunch.
And you would like this because the beer itself, I mean, it's any beer that they have
on
tap.
No, I know. They have a great selection. I've seen
it. They range from $5 to about $9 a beer.
You sent us the picture of it.
Yeah. And the burger is like $9 or $10.
So essentially free burger or free beer
for $10.
It's the same picture I sent you guys on Thursday from the 18% alcohol from Dogfish Head.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Don't diss Whole Foods.
All right, last beer of the night.
Wait, we still have another beer.
Yeah, we have one more. So.
Holy crap.
Chimay Blue, I've had it many times. And you got to include that on a show like this. Jeff got the actual Chimay Blue in a bottle, and I went to
woo!
I went to BevMo and tried to get it. Couldn't find it. No Chimay White, no Chimay Red, no Chimay Blue. They had this bottle.
Hold, up the, bo- it, hold it the bottle up, Andy.
It doesn't look like Chimay Blue. But apparently they only make one. They may only make three beers, and this is it. It has a different name. It's a different marketing, different label.
It's just they've just updated their label.
I guess so. I don't know why they do that because it's such an iconic label, but
well, it's just like with anything, you got to change at some point.
You don't have to change. That's the thing. I'm against all change.
Unless you make your mountains turn blue.
That's cool. Yeah. Hey, that's right. that was a good change.
That's a good one.
Actually, that's a gimmick, and who cares? So I'm hoping this is the same beer. I'm going to compare the beer to the Jeff's color. I think it's the
it's
same.
It's the same beer.
Looking at the
I'm
color.
You it's the same beer.
I'm holding it up. It's
and we've had this
dark.
We've had this a ton of times.
It's dark. I see a little bit more red peeking through than the last couple of beers.
Now, Chimay, they do like 100,000 barrels a year. That's a lot for any of these traps. They're the biggest.
For a monk.
One, for a monk. I mean, they only...
Takes a lot of monks.
Yeah, it takes a lot of monks to do that many. No, I mean, they're basically a commercial operation under the supervision of the monastery. Compared, you know, these other breweries are doing maybe 5,000 barrels. You know, that's just not that much.
Yeah,
well, they're the biggest of the Belgian.
Considering like Lagunitas, we went to their brewery. Right. They're now up to a million barrels
yeah.
a year.
1 million.
So this is 1/10 of that, which is still a lot. You know. Whereas the other ones are 1/100th of that.
Exactly.
But we've had this beer a lot. I mean, we're familiar with the flavor of this beer and the taste.
This is the most, in my opinion, it's the most well-known Trappist ale.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
I've always been a fan of the Chimay Red, personally.
I was, too, for a long time.
Me as
but
well.
I've been sold on the blue. It's just so good.
I'd like to try them all side by side sometime.
We will do that.
We actually just discussed that today. We will have that comparison. So just like we did with the Roquefort, white, red, blue, right?
Yeah. Yep.
We'll do that with Chimay too. But and
skip the white.
This beer is just so good. I don't know. It's just.
It smells very crisp.
I get a cherry smell out of it.
I can't more describe cherry. Cherry? I could see that. I can't describe the smell other than it just smells very crisp. It smells really good.
It's a dry caramel, and it just goes down easy. It really...
What she said.
It has the most interesting nose out of all of the beers.
At 9%, it's kind of in the middle of the beers we've had tonight.
Yeah, the aromas I just can't pick up tonight. I've had allergies for the last 2 weeks, and it's been killing me, but...
It's a little bit more bitter than the others, I think. It has a little bitter note that the others
right.
didn't have.
Agreed.
And it has also, the yeast comes out more than the last four or five ones.
Since those first two had a yeasty thing going on, the rest of them didn't, this has it again.
The bitterness isn't a bad thing for me.
I think personally that's why I tend to gravitate towards the red, especially when I was younger and I'm not an IPA guy. I don't like the hops. The blue has more of a... hoppy and yeasty smell
bitterness.
And taste to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the bitterness from the yeast. It, you know, I wouldn't classify it as hop, but it is a little bit more bitter.
I wouldn't say that anything we've had tonight
has hop.
It's overly sweet.
Well, they all have hop in them.
Well, but not like
overly sweet, except for
hopped.
Like 11.3 was maybe a little overly sweet. The last one, the Achel. I don't know if that's the way to pronounce
Achel?
It. Achel?
I think it's Achel, but I don't know. I'm
I don't
just
know.
Okay.
Grasping for straws there.
That one was kind of all over the map. This one has a little bit of a darker characteristic to it, which actually works for me. It's hard to go wrong with any of these, but this is pretty good.
Yeah, it's such a good show. A lot of shows we have where some of the beers are just like, yeah, I could do without that.
All of these were really good.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, just from tasting this beer, you're like, oh, this is like barreled in some sort of fancy oak or some fancy barrel just because it's, you know.
Monks don't do fancy. They do. I wear flip-flops and a
function over form, man.
Yeah, but, you know, they talk about on the bottle that it's got natural ingredients and they, you know, they thrive for quality. You know what? It's a very good tasting beer. No, there's no impurities or any kind of weird like sourness or any kind of weird like fake taste to it. It's all very pure and very good tasting.
It's good. I think that Steve and I are probably most aligned on our like preferences. I think you and I are close together in
definitely.
What we like. I think I like the red a little bit better. This one has a little bit more bitterness than I care for, but it's still very good.
I wouldn't call this beer at all sour.
No.
And I wouldn't call it at all sweet. It just has a kind of, it's middle of the road. It has a, I mean, it's just very slight fruit and very subtle taste.
Yeah, but it's a little bit darker than the other beers we had tonight.
Yeah, it is.
A little bit more buttery than the other beers
like
we've had.
We had a lot of like honey, sweeter type of beers, and this one is a little bit on more darker.
It lingers longer than the other ones,
a little
too.
Maltier,
so
yeah.
Before we were talking about how fleeting they are, they're there and then they're gone. This one sticks around for a little bit longer. It's there. You can taste it a lot longer than you can the other ones.
And Jeff said it, you know, it's malty and it's got a little bit of a butter flavor to it.
Yeah, butter for sure.
All right. I think we've done all the damage we can do here. Let's have Andy take us through the beers that we tried tonight, and then we'll try and whittle down and figure out what our favorite beer of the night was.
Okay, so we started off with the Orval Trappist Ale. Then we moved on to the Westmalle Triple. Then we had the Strange Brew, our Cuvée Brut, the cherry beer,
yep,
wine cooler alternative,
correct.
And then we had the Trappist Roquefort 6, 8, and 10 comparison. Moved on to the Achel, which we had the brown and Jeff had the blonde. I don't know which one was better. And then we had the Chimay Grand Reserve, the blue bottle. So who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
All right, so my beer of the day is a combination of the Trappist Roquefort 6 and 8.
This is a beer
like
of the day.
You mix them together?
This is.
I can't.
You got to pick one.
If I had to choose one, I mean, it's so hard.
You
for
have
me.
To choose one.
You
I'm
have to choose one.
The 6. I mean, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a phenomenal, well-balanced light beer. I could see myself just drinking this beer all day long and being like, damn, I want to invite friends over and pay $7.99 a bottle and say, you've got to try this.
We could blow through $1,000 with the beer a night.
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead and do that, Joel. I'm fine with that.
All right, so I'll pass it over to the left and let Steve go with his choice.
Yeah, the thing with these beers, I mean, they were all so good. Every one of them was great. Even the Cuvée Brut for the Strange Brew, it didn't taste like beer, but it tasted good. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
Just to be different though, because I think everyone else wants the Trappist 8. I think the Westmalle. I really loved it. I liked it a lot.
You were 6, right?
I chose 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everyone else is gonna take the 8. So, I mean, it was fantastic. The Westmalle though, I really could drink that all day. I mean, it was so good.
To me. It really was good.
It was.
Go ahead, Dal.
Man. Now Steve said something that struck a chord, and in the comparison, that Westmalle was so good. You could taste the quality. It's just the quality is just seeping out of it. You know, you can't drink that and be like, it's like somebody really took a lot of time with this. That being said, Roquefort 8, I can't really find a better beer than that. Honestly,
in the world.
I don't know in the world, but for tonight, that's the best beer I had tonight. I can't come up with anything else than that. So that's mine. Jeffrey.
So if you guys are okay with this, I've ranked these beers from
bottom
to top.
Beer of the day.
We're not okay with it.
Can I go through my list?
Sure.
Because
anything for you, Jeff.
Yeah, this is Jeff's take now.
Now, all of these beers were really good beers, and I'm not a big Belgian fan, but I think after this show, I have a newfound appreciation for these Trappist ales. And I like the quality of every beer, and I like the whole story behind this, that these are brewed by monks, that it's not like for profit. It's to support their abbey, you know, in the monastery. So I love that.
I'm sure they're doing all right.
They're doing fine.
Based on what we paid for this. I know the shipping is expensive.
So I'm going to leave out the strange brew since I didn't have that. But my least favorite, and not a bad beer, but number 7 was the Orval. Number 6 was the Rochefort 10. Number 5 was the Trappist Achel. The Achel was number 5.
Yep.
Number 4 was the Chimay Blue.
Okay, getting close.
Number 3 was the West Mall Triple.
Very good, yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of a toss-up for number 1 and number 2. I agree with what Joel said. But so number 2, I think, was the number 8.
Oh, I love you, Jeff.
Really?
So,
oh, you bastard.
So, I think they're both such great beers. It might depend on the mood I'm in. But for me tonight, the beer of the day was the Rochefort number 6.
Wow.
I'm impressed, Jeff.
Mind is blown.
Well, we know what Andy's taking. It's his favorite beer in the world. So let's just go ahead and skip him.
So I set it up as my, you know, if not the, but one of the, my favorite beers in the world, the number 8. And it's still there. It's just, you can't replicate that with any other beer we've ever had. And you can't say that you had a beer that is better quality than that.
Yeah.
That gives you that type of feeling. That's just, it's such an easy drinker. You know, it's the greatest bottle of beer I've ever had.
But not too easy.
I've got the bottle right here. I'll sell it to you for $5. It's just a little bit left in the bottom.
The little yeast they have at the bottom.
Otherwise, I'm keeping it. And I'm drinking it.
Britton, the decider.
All right, so normally I think for a show, it's a lot easier for me to decide which one I like the best because most of them don't necessarily like jive with my palate. All of these were really, really good. I think for me, it was between the 6, the 8, and the West Mall. But I'm going to have to go with Andy in the 8. It really is awesome. The 6 is really good too, but I think it's a little bit too sweet for me. The 8's a little bit more subtle, a little bit more balanced, so I'm going with the 8.
I love it.
Nice.
I like the variety.
I like the beer of the day.
I do like that everybody had a slightly different opinion, a different take on it. Moral of the story, hey, go out and buy some of these beers.
Absolutely. Support your local monastery, even if they're not local.
Exactly. How can you go wrong trying any of these beers? I mean,
you can't. They're all good.
At $7 or $8, I mean, even for a 12-ounce beer,
it's the best $8 you'll spend on a 11.2-ounce beer.
And you won't regret it at all.
Most of these places have spent hundreds of years figuring this stuff out.
They got it down,
and they do have it down.
There's only 11. Like we already said this, but there's only 11 recognized Trappist breweries in the world. And I think we had...
What are they trap?
Every one we had, except for the Strange Brew, is one of the recognized ones. It's one of these authentic Trappist products.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're so readily available in the U.S.
It really is. You go to BevMo or Whole Foods or whatever you have in your state and... you can probably find it. All right. We're going to take on out of here. But we thank you for tuning in tonight for our Trappist show and invite you to check out our website, beeroftheday.com. And if you have any comments about the website or our show here tonight, email us at feedback@beeroftheday.com or you can tweet us on Twitter at Beer of the Day. We'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Hilliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.